薄いのアホ。
スプリズムタワーメイクアップロカード
レディー。 Welcome to Shoujo and Tell, where we discuss shoujo manga and tell who's hot and who's not, talk about themes, and just generally geek out. Today, July 19th, 2020,we're doing a preview guide about the first volume of Fushigi Yugi, Byakko Senki by Yu Watase, which is being released by Viz Media's Shoujo Beatline in August. I'm your host, Ashton McDonald, and I'm joined by Asher Softman.
Yo.
Asher Softman is my boy toy, and I made him come on this episode not because he is the most qualified.
Oh, no.
Or even that he is the most convenient, because we are currently separated, but really, just because I need to do this fast.
In that way, I am convenient.
In that way, you are convenient. Yes. Way less planning involved. Yes. But first I'm going to give a general podcast update. So our life is very hectic right now. Asher and I are currently living with our respective parents. I'm looking for a house to buy in a pandemic. So that's very fun.
Yes.
That's super fun. I also have a lot of work stuff. In general, I ran out of backlog on this podcast, so it might have to go on hiatus soon. I'm actively trying to record things, but yeah, that's pretty much that. Asher is trying to do some school. It's a fun time.
Yep. Try to do some school apply to jobs.
Yeah.
Help Ashley with house things by providing opinions when asked.
Yeah.
Which I get. Like 50% of the time.
Yeah. The other part, you're like, yeah, whatever. Let's see, trying not to die of coronavirus, you know, the usual. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to mention that, like going to more manga-related things, but that aren't directly necessarily related to the content of this volume. So Watase, in like the past year or two, has come out as X-gender, which is a non-binary gender. But yeah, then I did notice... Yeah. I did notice in Viz's bio of Watase, they still used she. And I do know that that was brought up as a question, like on Shoujo Beat's Tumblr at some point, about why they were using she. And they were like, well, we got it approved with like Watase, or at least one of Watase's like representatives, to use female pronouns. But I think, you know, if you want to be cool, you can also say they. I'm pretty sure that is appropriate. The other awkward thing is that Byakko Senki only has 5 chapters out right now, and volume 1 is 4 of those chapters. And so it started coming out in like 2018 or something, but then it almost immediately went on hiatus because Watase has been having on and off health issues for like a solid decade or more at this point. So... it's very curious to me that Viz chose to actually license it at this time, that it is still, as far as we know, on indefinite hiatus. So, but you know, so I'm just saying, you buy this one volume and there's actually no other volumes currently. So we might be tortured. I mean, Genbu also went on a hiatus during its publication, but it was much further into its run. It was like, as far as I remember, it was around volume like 8 or so, which is like 2/3 of the way through Genbu. There are 12 volumes. So that's awkward. But, you know, it was still really fun for me to read Byakko. I was hype. I'm hype even though it will be torturous. Anyway. Oh, I guess we should give our background with other Fushigi Yugis. I have obviously read the original FY. We did podcasts on that. That was actually my first time reading through the whole manga, but I had watched the anime multiple times before that. But I actually do prefer Genbu Kaiden. Genbu Kaiden is my favorite FY. I don't think Byakko would change that, but, you know, I'm open to... being wrong about that, but there's a lot of things, there are a lot of characters in Genbu that I like really appreciate from a gender standpoint and those things. Asher, what's yours?
I read Fushigi Yugi a long, long time ago. I think back in the age of flipped manga.
Ooh,
yeah.
I know.
No. Like early high school, I read Fushigi Yugi, and mm-hmm. I don't remember it that well. I didn't read Genbu, and I maybe watched an episode of the anime, but it was past where I had read to, and I was just super confused. I don't remember or understand the business about the warriors coming to the real world. Is that a thing?
In the original FY, yeah.
Yeah. Tamahome becomes Taka or something?
Yes.
Yes, I understand none of that.
So you didn't read all of FY?
I guess not, then. This was also legitimately almost 15 years ago, so it could be that I read all of it and just don't remember anything.
Well, that's possible. Knowing you, you probably, like, Noriko died, and you were probably like, screw this, I'm out.
That is my strongest memory of the end of Fushigi Yugi, yes.
Oh, that's super not the end of Fushigi.
Ah, okay. All right, maybe, I generally remember they won. And Yui, like, Yui tried to get back on the path of...
of goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I had experience with Fushigi Yugi. I don't remember it very well.
Mm, yeah. Noriko is super, like, middle, actually.
Oh, no.
Noriko's, like, the first big death on the, like, good warrior side.
It's, like, volume 8, right?
Yeah, but there's, like, 16 volumes.
Oh, jeez. All right, maybe that's where I... I don't remember.
It's unfortunate because original FY knowledge doesn't get you very far in Byakko.
Right.
Genbu knowledge does get you.
Right. I think that's actually good that we have these two very different knowledge bases going in because, like, I mean, we're going to talk about it, but Byakko does mention Genbu a lot because they're fairly close in time, at least on the Earth end of it. You know, I know just enough about Genbu to be like, oh, so that's that priestess, but I don't know anything that happened.
Yeah, so you're going to provide more of a, is this okay for first-time FY readers?
The answer is yes.
Okay. and I'm much more, how hype should old FY readers be? And it's like, probably pretty hype, yeah, I think. Don't you want to read the end of, like, get all four?
I do. I do. Yeah. I guess apparently I need to go back to the beginning and read the first 16 volumes.
Just read Genbu.
No. No. Genbu is my reward for getting through the first 16 volumes.
I see. Okay. Sure. Why not? Okay. What's Byakko about? I'll do the plot synopsis. I'll try. Byakko is about the final FY priestess that hasn't had a story yet, Susanoo. Susanoo actually is confusing because, Genbu is way more mentioned in Byakko than the original FY, but in the original FY, as far as I remember, Susanoo is a much more prominent, important figure for two or three episodes than Takiko ever was. So there's that. So you do meet Susanoo in the original FY. But now we are going to get her full story. And so it actually starts off interestingly, I feel. Susanoo is very, very young. Was she 6 or something?
She was eight.
Eight. Yes. So she's 8 years old. You know, in the beginning, she's just like, her dad has the book because he was the apprentice of Takiko's dad. Takiko is the Genbu priestess. And I don't want to spoil Genbu too much, but you know, FY always ends in death. So some people die in there. And the book is left to his apprentice. Osugi is their last name. So he's trying to destroy the book because he's like, oh God, you know, the priestesses get sucked into this book and then they die. That's how this works. He's like, I must prevent more young maidens from dying. But he is unable to destroy the book because the book is full of powerful magic.
And because it has plot immunity because it shows up in whatever year Fushigi Yugi original.
Yeah, the original FY is more in, like, contemporary time, like late 90s, early 2000s.
Contemporary is a strong word.
Listen, it was contemporary at the time it was written.
Yes, it was.
He's trying to destroy the book, but Susanoo is always curious and, like, loves her dad, has, like, a little bit of a daddy complex going on.
A little bit?
Okay, a lot. of a daddy complex going on here. So then actually it's set in 1923. So the big Japan earthquake that happened that like wrecks Tokyo happens. And the book is nearby. So her dad gets dead. But before he dies in the earthquake, he's like, open the book. The book will save you in this situation.
Right.
And he knows enough about the story to be like, okay, maybe you can, you go, and then there's supposed to be guardians to protect you, basically. So he's like, find the guardians. They'll actually protect you. So she goes into the book, meets a bunch of people who may or may not be guardians. Yeah, the first three chapters, or like the two chapters are in the book. Her meeting a couple people, the royalty people finding out that the priestess of Byakko has shown up, so they go in search. But of course, they're like, should we hand her over? Like, I don't know. Then one of the people that she thought was her allies like attacks her, so she goes back to the real world. Then there's a time skip, which is pretty important. Like, I don't want to spoil the whole volume, but I feel like it's important that there's a time skip.
Yeah. It's a 5-year, I think. Right?
No, I'm pretty sure it's
Is it longer than that?
If she was 8, I'm pretty sure she's like 16 in the present day.
I thought it said 1928. Hang on.
Oh, I thought it was 1932, actually.
Oh, you're right. 1932.
Yes. Yeah, I was like, no, I'm pretty sure World War II is like about to happen.
Yeah, right? Like, yeah.
The machinations of war are about to happen. Yeah, so if it was 1923 and she was 8, and now it's 1932.
Then she's 17.
She's like 17 or something.
16, 17, yeah.
People who have read Genbu, it actually, like, character relationship-wise, lines up pretty good. That would, like, it parallels Genbu in decent ways. Even in the, when she goes to the book world, first, how are we saying her name? Ninlan?
I was saying Ninglan.
Okay. We apologize for being bad
at Chinese. Neither of us, yeah, have done any study of Chinese.
The first person she meets, actually, who is not just blatantly a kidnapper, is Ninglan. And Ninglan can change into a tiger that is Byakko-esque in the same way that in, like, it felt very similar to me in the same way that Uruki in Genbu, you know, in warrior form, changes into a girl and is, like, naked a lot of the time. And they did the same thing where, like, Uruki and Takiko are like sick in the beginning, so they like cuddle naked. Like Takiko goes to cuddle with him naked, but she thinks that he's a girl at first, and then she's like, why are you a dude? Like, what's going on? Just a lot of similar dynamics happen like that. And there's a soldier boy in the main world who's in love with Susanoo. His name's Seiji. They've been childhood friends, so that's actually similar to Dr. Okuda, who has like adopted Susanoo and Seiji, was the one who was taking care of Takiko in Genbu and was in love with her. So he never married. He just like has adopted a bunch of parentless kids who lost their parent in the earthquake. So like it's a lot of, you know, like you can play connect the dots, but apparently it works if you're not connecting the dots. Like Asher doesn't have all this.
Yeah. I mean, what I do have is I have knowledge that Genbu exists, so I can be like, oh, this is a reference to Genbu. Otherwise, I think if you didn't know Genbu existed, it might not be great, because you'd be like, am I supposed to know who these people are? Am I missing something? That might be a turnoff, but for me, since I know Genbu is out there, it's like, okay, if I need the answers, I can go find them.
Yeah.
For now, I set them aside.
Yeah, I definitely wonder about people who, like a younger generation of manga readers who were, like, our age when we discovered the original FY, like, if they'll be into this or something. Or if it's only appealing to people our age who are like, yes, well, finally we get to see the end, you know?
I mean, nothing is ever only going to appeal to us. I don't know that this type of story is as familiar to a different generation. Isekai is everywhere now, but it's a very different isekai.
That's true.
Where this sort of very serious, fantastical, epic thing. I mean, I could be wrong. I don't read a lot of young adult stuff anymore. But I don't know that this kind of epic thing is epic and romantic thing is so much in the up and up pop culture thing.
Definitely the manga, the shoujo manga landscape anyway, has definitely seemingly gone more realistic, and so has the YA landscape as far as I know. Like fantasy is always popular, right? Like,
right.
But it's not the like really hot most popular genre right now, for sure.
I mean, if people like Yona of the Dawn, maybe, but I feel like even that is maybe more aimed older, you know?
Oh, yeah, because Shuyugi is so light.
It's not, but like you said, people who are now how old we were then when we were reading Shuyugi, and I was 14, 15.
Yeah.
So.
Well, okay, I mean, I admit that I think when we discovered Shuyugi, especially when because I think I was older, I was younger actually than 14 and 15. I do think it was a little too young, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, everybody's going to have their thing that they're like, ooh, I learned some dark things a little too young.
Game of Thrones. Yeah. Culture has shifted. And cartoons, people are aware that cartoons aren't just for kids. So there's less mislabeling of...
That's true. That's fair.
So it's going to appeal to the people that still love fantasy, like epic fantasy adventures, like the people that love Lord of the Rings and... I don't know. And pretty boys.
Yes, the prettiest of boys. And girls, truly. I mean, really. Just everybody in a Watase manga is so pretty.
That's true. It draws in fewer people that... Like, the girls do not draw in the people, generally, right? That's not what people read Watase stuff for.
Oh, no. Well, not for their looks, I don't think.
Okay, fair.
For their... struggles, sure.
Okay.
I'm not really feeling Susanoo, though, as
we don't know Susanoo as who she's going to be for most of the story yet. We knew Susanoo for most of volume one as an 8-year-old,
but I was like, oh, look at this daddy complex is too much for me. Generally, I liked it. I was like, yes, I feel so at home.
right.
My FY.
Yeah, we definitely have that nostalgia thing going on that new audiences aren't going to have. But yeah, coming to this right after, what's it called? Haruka?
It makes some sense in a little bit.
It does. It's like, oh, this. This is where the magic happens.
Yes, this is how you do 7 men are all in love with you. 8 men if we're going to throw in Seiji, because yeah, why not?
I kind of wonder, like, maybe there's some way that Seiji's going to be a warrior. That could be cool. You know, how like Tenma and Shimon,
yeah. Oh, interesting. I didn't think about how... Yeah, because, like, again, it parallels Genbu, so, like, that doesn't happen in Genbu. But I have been way more interested, yeah, my thoughts have been, like, because it's on the brink of World War II, and the background, like, I guess technically the background of Genbu was, like, maybe the end of World War I, right? Like,
how long ago was Genbu?
Well, it couldn't have been that long before the start of this, because... Yeah, they talk about Susanoo being sick and stuff in Genbu. A lot of the real world stuff in Genbu was just like her father really discovering the power of this book, right? And like being so scared for her. But Takiko also had like a deadly disease in the real world,
right?
That didn't affect her in the book, as far as I remember. Or didn't affect her as much, something like that. Or at least in the end, she was like, I'd rather spend... the short amount of life I have, right, with a rookie in
right,
the book.
Right.
Because, yeah, I don't think it was, like, consumption or something, right? Like, it wasn't curable at this time, so.
I see.
So it's much more just, like, yeah, like, that drama with her and, like, how it's going to kill her, but, like, she's going to die anyway.
Right.
And then in the first FY, it's like it gets wacky because the conflict of the book does come to the real world eventually. Like, they all go to the real world.
Okay, I definitely didn't finish
Shuyugi. Oh, yeah. The end of it is, like, they all go and have, like, fights in the real world and stuff. It's
wild.
It's really wild.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess I gotta get on that.
So I think it's way more interesting that the backdrop of this story is like World War II is like creeping up on them. And so like, it's like, oh yeah. So a lot of the book world drama is always not just the romantic stuff, but it's like high political drama, right? Like one country is trying to invade another country, suppress minority groups and stuff like that. So I think it's way more interesting the possibility that like grave consequences overall politically in the real world are also like mirroring the book world.
Yeah, that would be very, very fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. especially since the time difference seems to be like one day in the book world is 4 days in the real world. So yeah, when she goes back to the book world, a lot more time is going to pass in the real world.
Right. Does the ratio just stay constant or does it fluctuate like in Digimon? Look. I know what my references are here.
I don't remember that well, yeah. I'm sure that will become clearer when she goes back and meets warriors again.
All right.
Yeah, so actually we don't even, like, we know that her main interest from original FY is a warrior named Tatsara, but there are two potential candidates for who that currently is. because there is a brother duo that she met, and it is unclear which one of them is actually Tatsara. It's clear one of them is Tatsara.
Probably the older brother, but who knows?
Yeah.
I would actually be thrilled if, like, the older brother dies and the younger brother sort of, like, takes his place.
Yeah, well, that's what I, like, assumed at first would happen. I was like, surely, because, you know, yeah, we're introduced to Ninglan, Kasal, and Karm are the three people that she met. Kasal and Karm are brothers.
Yes.
There's a pretty big age difference between them. So Karm is closer in age to Susanoo.
Karm is 12 when she meets him.
Yeah.
Kasal, I think, is 21, according to the Wikipedia article I accidentally looked at.
Yeah. Of the three of them, I'm like, okay, surely two of them are warriors,
right?
Is my prediction. And then, yeah, I assume like one of them dies or something.
Shigi Yugi. Death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they'll all die eventually.
But we'll all die eventually.
No, they'll all die fast. But that's not the point. One of them will be Tatsara first. They'll fall in love and then they die. That's how
they see. Happen. I see. Okay.
Yes. I think there's also, yeah, potential with Ninglan to be way more interesting too, because she pretends that she's the priestess of Byakko.
Right.
And actually she's reviled because, yeah, she can turn into a tiger, and that's like weird.
It's more than that. She's also eaten people alive.
Yeah, she's eaten a lot of, like, people.
That's a pretty good reason to be a little wary of somebody.
Okay, fine. but I like her. I think she's probably just going to be like ultimate tsundere. Or maybe she won't. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. There's lots of stuff that I'm like, there are a lot of interesting seeds going on here.
Yes.
I'm actually very intrigued to see where this could go.
I definitely want her to be like more of a Ron situation. So like, you know, maybe a little antagonistic at the beginning, but like on our side, and sometimes uses her connections with, or her perceived essence to to, you know, do things for Susanoo that Susanoo can't do because they're the good guys. I'm a little more worried like it'll be more confrontational, because like I don't need women pitted against each other for boys in power. Like, had enough of that with original FY.
Yeah. No, I really want Ninglan to just, be a celestial warrior, because I think it's, there is a female celestial warrior in Genbu, so I think it's more fun when there's more gender diversity in it.
Yeah. Duh.
Duh.
And I think Watase probably feels that too, like, why else do that with Genbu?
Yeah, it's also interesting to read this, knowing now that Watase just like clearly identifies as X-gender, I think.
Yeah.
I think Watase has been put in a lot of boxes throughout the years that they didn't want to be put in, actually. And like, they've always been open about that. Like, even in the sidebars of original FY, Watase was always like, people want this to be more of a romance, and they want me to be into these like girly things, but really I just like action adventure stuff. And then, you know, she tried to write, or Watsasi tried to write a shonen series that's also like on indefinite hiatus called Arata the Legend.
Right. I started reading that.
I read like all that's out of it right now, which is like 24 volumes. So it's a lot of volumes. Watase got a lot of like pushback from their editors and stuff doing that. Yeah. So I just feel like Watase has been put in a lot of boxes throughout the years and been trying to break them. And so it's actually really fun to read FY to being like, oh, this is her, like Watase slowly breaking the boxes, right? Like,
right. telling the story they want to tell.
Yeah. And I'm like, I love it.
Yes.
I did also want to mention, yeah, that Tatara, whichever brother is Tatara, they are much darker skinned than the original Tatara we are presented in original FY, which is interesting. Like, obviously, Watase is purposely making them some more, like, Asian minority group, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this takes place further west than any of the other FYs. So,
yeah.
Like, that makes sense.
But clearly, that's going to be part of like the political struggle.
Oh, of course.
And everything else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are all the really like big points that I wanted to mention. Like, I'm pretty hyped. I'm really hyped because I'm going to do podcasts about Genbu in like a week. And now I'm so excited to read Genbu again. I loved Genbu.
I got to read the original FY, apparently. I missed half of it.
Apparently you missed half of it. Yep.
Whoops.
That's what I'm learning. Oh, boy. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, okay, Byakko is coming out again from Viz Media in early August. So you should pick it up. It's going to be dope whenever Watase is physically able to finish it. It's gonna be a long journey, and you know, I'll be 40 by the time it happens, and you know what, that's fine.
Maybe, like, you know, the longer it takes, the more able I think Watase will be able to tell the story they want to tell, you know, like the political climate in the real world will shift and change, and I think that's rad.
That's true. And it's gonna be so fascinating, yeah, to have all four stories, like all four priestesses stories, be told and then be able to read them in like weird order, like orders. Yeah. Because publishing order isn't the time order. Yeah. Right. Like, time order, Genbu goes first.
All right. Yaka, no, I'm actually really excited to read them in publishing order. Cause it's like, then I can see how Watase's thoughts evolve, how sort of like what they can say evolves. And yeah, what they want to say evolves. Like, ooh. Original FY had a lot to say about women, I think, and like the women and power, and how the position of a priestess is just so weird.
And like more like modern teenage like drama. Like, it did try to capture that, like,
yeah,
rivalry stuff. I think.
I don't remember very well, but what I do remember is that there were elements of Yui's story that I wasn't ready for as a 14-15-year-old, and
yeah.
But it was good that it was there also. It's like, oh, suddenly my eyes are open to a thing that I never really thought about.
Oh, yeah. No, I think reading both orders will be very interesting. It'll be really confusing to read it in a chronological order almost.
I think so, too. I think publication order is the way to go.
Yeah. It's fascinating either way. Like, in the same way, yeah, you can watch, like, Haruhi's Suzumiya in multiple ways, or Red Wall in different ways.
I was going to bring up C.S. Lewis, The Chronicles of Narnia, but...
Okay, fine. We have different tastes.
Yeah. People know that.
Anyway, Byakko, be hyped for it, people. Go buy it.
Yes. I think people should be interested in this, because I think wherever it goes, it's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, like, I think there's a potential for it to be way more fascinating, actually, than any of the previous FYs.
Yeah, yeah.
I still don't think I like any of the characters as much as I love Takiko.
We barely know any of the characters.
Nope. I was instantly in love with those people.
All right.
Thanks for listening to Show Don't Tell. Comments, questions, constructive criticism, concerns, email showjoeandtell@gmail.com, or leave a comment on the episode's YouTube page. please leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher if you like what we're doing. We're Ash, Shoujo, and Tell on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. You cannot find Asher on the interwebs. Thanks again for listening. Our next main episode is going to be about Paradise Kiss by Aizawa. And the Paradise Kiss episode is going to be with the host of the Clampcast. So that episode is very good. It is very long, but it's really good. So stay tuned. Until then, bye.
Adios.